Welcome to day 88 of our 180-day study of the Westminster Standards, and we're looking at how the Word of God is to be used in worship as we're studying the second commandment on true and false worship. Let's look at Westminster Shorter Catechism question 90. How is the Word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? Answer, that the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer, receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. Westminster Larger Catechism question 160 is basically the same question. It asks, what is required of those that hear the word preached? But as you'll see from the answer, we're talking about the same concept of both hearing the word preached and also reading it for ourselves. Answer, it is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer, examine what they hear by the scriptures, receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God, meditate and confer of it, hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. So let's look at the Larger Catechism answer and the scripture proof texts. It's required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. It's required of those that hear the word preached, and of course also that of they that read the word, that they attend upon it with preparation. 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies, all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Luke 8:18, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. It's required of those that hear the word or read the word that they attend upon it with prayer. Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. It's required of those that hear the word and read the word that they examine what they hear and read by the scriptures. Acts 17:11, these were at Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. It's also required that they receive the truth with faith. Hebrews 4:2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It's required that they receive the truth with love. 2 Thessalonians 2:10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. We must receive the word with meekness, James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. We're to receive the truth with readiness of mind. And again, Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We must receive the truth as the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It's required of those who hear and read the word that they meditate on it. Luke 9:44, let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. in addition to meditating on it, were to confer of it. Luke 24:14. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Talk about it. Hide it in their hearts. Proverbs 2:1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee. Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And finally, it's required of those that hear and read the word that they bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. Luke 8:15. But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. James 1:25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Okay, now we're going to begin a transition. Tomorrow we're going to start looking at the sacraments. But there were a couple of questions which we could have read before we started looking at the Word. We could also read before we start looking at prayer, but that's going to be at the very end of our study. So we'll look at these two questions now, since tomorrow we're going to start looking at the sacraments. And that's Larger Catechism question 153 and 154. Question 153, what does God require of us that we may escape His wrath and curse due to us by reason of the transgression of the law? Now, I should note that as you're reading the Larger Catechism, you'll come across these questions after you go through the entire exposition of the Ten Commandments, the exposition of the law. But we're reading it because it introduces the sacraments, which we're studying under the Second Commandment itself. The answer to the question, what does God require of us that we may escape His wrath and curse due to us by reason of the transgression of the law? The Shorter Catechism reads, by reason of sin. And that's because 1 John 3:4 says that sin is the transgression of the law. The answer, that we may escape the wrath and curse of God due to us by reason of sin, the transgression of the law, He requireth of us repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and the diligent use of the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of His mediation. Okay, the first phrase, that He requires repentance and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 3:7, but when He saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to His baptism, He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath about to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5 say the same thing. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Acts 16:30, and the jailer brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That we may escape the wrath and curse of God due to us by reason of the transgression of the law, He requires of us the diligent use of the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of His mediation. Proverbs 2, My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 8:33, Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Larger Catechism question 154. What are the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of his mediation? Answer. The outward and ordinary means whereby Christ communicates to his church the benefits of his mediation are all his ordinances, especially the word, sacraments, and prayer, all of which are made effectual to the elect for their salvation. Matthew 28:19-20, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the age. Amen. Acts 2:42, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So as we continue looking at the second commandment, true and false worship, we're going to be looking at what is not also not just worship, but also, according to the question we just read, the outward means whereby Christ communicates to us the benefits of his mediation. And that's a study of the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, and baptism.